Nick Hart from Backstreet Boys.
Shout out to Boy Band Break.
It's Chris Kirkpatrick here. Shout out to your podcast, Boy Band Break.
Hey, everybody, this is Howie D, and I'm listening to Boy Band Break.
Hi, Ashley Parker Angel here. Huge shout out to the Boy Band Break podcast.
This is Brad from LFO, and you are listening to Boy Band Break.
Hey, what's up? This is Jacob.
It's Dan.
What's up? It's Trevor.
And it's Eric Michael, and it's time for Boy Band Break, baby. Let's go!
Welcome back to Boy Band Break, where we encourage you to take a break from your day and join us in some boy band conversation. As always, I'm Chinzia.
I'm Sophia.
And I'm Lydia, aka Mama Lou.
She's back.
Hi, guys.
We didn't kill her. She's alive.
No,
she's alive.
I'm pulling Chinzia a
Kate Middleton. Chinzia doesn't have to say that Lydia's not with us and make it sound like Lydia was dead.
I am not dead. I'm pulling a Kate Middleton. I'm coming out and being like, guys, I'm alive. And my life's been crazy. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to abandon you guys. I still love you guys. Boy Band Break. And also, I do all your episode conversions. So I'm still here doing stuff.
Just still doing shit behind
still
the
helping
scenes,
us out, you pressure. Know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Doing the technical stuff.
Yeah. Still part of the team.
You got it. Exactly. But yes, Soph, Chins, but you guys been doing banging job. Good job, guys.
Yes. We do our best.
2024.
Yes. Jesus. 2024 has been a freaking wild ride so far.
Yeah, so we've been briefly talking about it, but why don't you give a quick update on your VTuberness and
My life. Yes. Okay. So in January I decided to take streaming full time. And it's been a journey, and it's been amazing, and it's been terrible at the same time. It's been good and bad. There's been some good parts and bad parts.
For sure.
It is way more work than a full-time job. It is pretty much the equivalent of like two full-time jobs. But otherwise, it's been great. I'm also part of an improv troupe now as well. So I do monthly shows on the Danforth, and it's the 404s. If you ever want to come watch
in Toronto,
in Toronto, yes, that's right. It's this nerdy improv comedy, and it's so.
And where are you going next week?
Yes, I am on tour next week, guys. So I am in Ottawa.
The day that finally arrived.
Yes, I know. I'm like, yes, finally, my fame has manifested into a tour. Yes, so I'm on tour on Anime Ottawa from March 28th to April 1st. So I will be performing at Anime Ottawa with my comedy troupe, the 404s. My YouTube channel.
Readmission with the cost of the entry to the convention.
That's right.
So you don't have to pay extra. So if you happen to be an anime fan and you are in Ottawa, you can go see Lydia.
Exactly. Yeah. I will be on stage. I will wave to you. I will sign autographs after. Anyways, but it's been awesome. And the YouTube channel, my VTuber YouTube channel has skyrocketed. I have over 12,000 followers, 12,000 subscribers now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Hard work pays off.
That's right. Climbing my way to the top.
Plug it for anyone who wants to check it out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you want to visit me on YouTube, you're going to look for, hold on, I will tell you because I'm tired. Hold on. I'm like my brain has suffered a massive sleep. Okay, hold on 1 second. It is. That's right. That's right. You're going to go youtube.com/LydiaVTuber, and that's LidiaVTuber. So if you want to see what my work has been, it's that. But yes, please.
She's a cute cartoon cat.
I'm a Gyaru Siamese cat girl. So yeah, it's different. It's interesting. I mean, definitely the audience from here probably won't translate there. But anyways, I'm glad.
But if you want to see a fun cooking show, she does that every Sunday now.
Every Sunday.
Yeah.
Augmented.
There's some fun things that you've been doing.
So very cool. Like cartoon is actually cooking real food, and She lets her listeners decide what they're going to make. And there's been some interesting options so far.
Been gross. There's been some, I made some nasty shit. I made some mustard custard. I made a ketchup cake. My viewers are
ketchup
trolling
me. Ketchup cake
was
not bad. The
was
ketchup
actually
cake
not bad.
That was surprisingly
right?
pretty
It was okay.
Good.
It was okay. Yeah. So.
And you wouldn't think that.
No, I know, right? Yeah. So.
Just tastes like a spice cake. And it had like really good cream cheese icing, I think.
Yeah, it was cream cheese icing. Yeah. Yeah, it was cream cheese. It was awesome. It was banging. So please. So fans of the Boy Band Break podcast, I have not abandoned you. My life has just become very, very busy. In fact, I was actually in three interviews today, Not today, sorry.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, 3 interviews in the last 3 days. And I also have been in 2 collabs, and I have a collab coming up tonight. So, like, it's just everybody wants a piece of Lydia, which is great. And I'm loving it.
Not a piece of me.
So it's just,
yeah. But it's a lot. It takes a lot out of you.
It's a lot. Yeah, I am looking forward to the tour because, like, I'm going to get rest, sort of, kind of, not really. But anyways, yeah, it's just, I've been very busy, but I just know I love each and every one of you guys who listen to the Boy Band Break podcast. Thank you so much for your support. And I'm sorry I've been gone, and I'm sorry I've been a shit, but I am here.
Shit.
You're fine.
I just feel bad. I feel bad because I'm like, I can't record for the next, you know, little while. So my time management needs work. Yeah, it's been 3 months. My time management absolutely needs work, but just know I didn't forget about you. And I'm still doing Boy Band Break stuff. I shared a lot to the Facebook groups and
you
stuff.
You do, yes. You're doing very good. So appreciate you. Thank you for all that you
Yes. Thanks for your help, Lydia, and congratulations on all the success so far.
Yes, this is exciting. Ooh.
Thank you.
2024 is the year of Lydia. So
I hope so, man. Oh man, I'm like.
And your acting gig should start up again too, right?
Yes, March, but I mean it is now the end of March. We're still snow. There's still snow. It's mostly the summertime when all of my filming gigs come up. I'm just, you know,
that's good.
I'm
Mother
still
Nature said no spring for you guys yet.
Oh, no,
got more winter.
Second full day of spring. Let's have a blizzard for no reason.
I know. Yeah. Gross. Anyways,
the weather changed like every 5 minutes, and I was like, yes, this is how we're getting sick.
Yeah, that was like, I know. I got massively sick. It was awful. Like stupid weather. Yeah. It's okay. I'm better. Like both nostrils. Things are going great.
Woo-hoo. Always good when you have both nostrils.
You got it. Exactly.
Exciting.
Thank you for asking about my life, though. But anyways, back to you, Shinzia.
Okay, so we have basically one boy band. Oh, actually, first of all, I went shopping in the States last week, and look what I found. It's the Jonas Brothers popcorn.
Oh, wow. Oh, look at you.
I think we've tried this before, but it did not have this packaging. And now it has the beautiful boys on the front.
Wonderful.
It is called Rob's Backstage Popcorn. Mm-hmm. So this is the original savory, sweet, and savory, salty, and sweet. And then on the back, there's more pictures.
Ooh.
I'll just quickly read it to you since you cannot see it.
Okay.
So Rob's Backstage Popcorn. Who's Rob? Meet Rob Garbusky, a popcorn connoisseur and father of former Jonas Brothers bass guitarist and close friend Greg. Many years ago, Rob created his signature popcorn, freshly popped kernels seasoned with a sweet, salty, and savory blend, unlike anything else out there. Why the Jonas Brothers love this popcorn. In 2011, fate intertwined the lives of Rob's popcorn and the Jonas Brothers forever. After a rained out concert, Nick followed Greg to the Garbowski house, where Rob whipped up a batch of his famous popcorn. Blown away by its unique flavor, Nick immediately shared it with his brothers, Kevin and Joe, and the popcorn quickly became the band's go-to backstage snack. For over a decade, the treasure of this popcorn remained well-kept secret between the Jonas Brothers and Rob. But we are thrilled to finally share the backstage magic with you. So, yes.
The secret is out.
Yes. So, I don't know if this is actually available in Canada, but it's definitely available in the States. I've never seen it here. So,
did we try it?
Yep.
We did. We tried this one, and then we tried the Priyanka one, which was more spices. And I feel like there's a third one, but I don't think we tried that one.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think
we liked this one. Possibly. I could try it now, but I'll save it for another time.
I remember it not being great, but I was just like,
yeah,
I don't want to.
I feel like it was the end of a long
shooting day. And I can't remember if we did a Facebook Live or not about it.
No,
we didn't end up doing that. Yeah.
No, so it was a long shooting day. We're just like, all right, we're like, oh, finally we get this popcorn. Oh, no. It was kind of like that.
And then because we don't want to waste food, you just kept eating it.
Yes, we were hungry. Right. So
yes, exactly.
I don't know. Maybe well, next time we're together again in person, we will try this popcorn and see if it's different. So
okay.
Yes.
Maybe it changed because the outside image changed.
You know, exactly.
That's true. So, you never know.
But it was kind of like a kettle corny type thing, right? Wasn't it like sweet and salty and
I remember it being like blah, 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 but that's just okay. Maybe.
But no, I also remember this. I also remember it not being good.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, then I've forgotten. Anyways,
it's a collector piece anyway.
It includes popcorn, sunflower oil, and the seasoning mix is sugar, salt, sodium citrate, onion and garlic powder, red bell pepper, and carrot. I think that's what threw us off, that it had carrot in it. I don't know.
Maybe something like that.
I'm also really curious how he made it with carrots. Did he like shred carrots in there, or did he have like dehydrated carrots?
Yeah.
Do they sell dehydrated carrots?
Maybe in America.
I don't know. They sell lots of things. They sell ranch seasoning and other things.
Yeah. America's wild.
America seems to have everything. So
yeah, they have lots of things.
You listeners in America, you guys are lucky. You don't even know how lucky you are. You get the variety of things. We have very, very strict health standards in Canada. So we don't get all the cool. I had to make a Fruit Loops cake on stream, and I'm like, guys, please understand that Canadian Fruit Loops are different than American Fruit Loops. And my viewers are like, no, it can't be, no. And so I'm like, here it is. Like, we don't have the blue dye. We don't have the.
We red used dye. To have the pretty colors, and they got rid of that a few years ago to make it because more healthy.
They're not good for your health. So I'm like, here is a Canadian Fruit Loop cake. It looked so sad. I was just
it was very muted pastel-y type colors.
Yes. I gave you a piece. Did you try it?
Yes. I set it aside to try it, and because it was in with the barbecue cupcakes, which were garbage, I went to sleep and mom thought it was all for the chickens. So I did not get to eat it, but it looked really good. And I tasted really a little bit of the icing and I was like, oh, this is good. And then,
okay. Well,
she's like, where's the Fruit Loop thing? She's like, oh, you put it in the garbage. She's like, no, that wasn't garbage. I was so upset. Sorry. I wasn't going to tell you, but
chickens enjoyed it.
At least the chickens had a good time.
The chickens are thriving and having a grand old time.
I'm glad they're eating my garbage.
Yes.
Did you try the barbecue cupcake?
I did. That was bad. It was horrible. Very, I don't know if it was just because you had it in the fridge or something. It was very hard and dense.
Oh, it was just gross. It was super gross.
It was, and it had a weird flavor to it. I took one bite and I was like, no. And then I like spit it out. So
yeah, that's fair. I would have done the same.
But I was so full from whatever I had eaten before. So I didn't try. I should have just had the cake at that point. But then I was just like, why did I just take the shit cupcake instead of the good cake that I knew was going to be good? I don't know. Sorry.
That's all right. No worries. It's okay. Anyways,
you live and you learn.
Yeah, that's right.
Moving along to boy band related things.
Yes.
This past week, Nick Carter has announced a whole slew of new tour dates.
So
basically, this man is actually taking a world tour and like going on a world tour. So he finished his first. Yeah, it's his whole. Sure. It's the Who Am I?
And he's announced some of one in Toronto. So, that's good. Yeah.
So he's on a little bit of a break right now. He just finished the like South America stuff. So then he's going to start up again in May and go India, Philippines, Indonesia, Singapore, Taiwan, Japan, Denmark, Netherlands, Switzerland, Sweden, Belgium, Finland, Germany. So that's going to Italy, Sweden again, Spain. So that's going to go up to the end of July. Oh, Austria. Then he has a couple of festivals he's doing in the UK. So he has London, which is like a 90s festival, or Newcastle. 90s festival is in Newcastle in the United Kingdom. So that has a whole bunch of like 90s bands. So that actually looks really fun. Too bad it is, you know, across the pond. There's a cat.
Sorry, I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, Kagami, you're adorable.
Hello.
Oh,
very cute cat. Okay, so then in September, so then he takes a little break in August and the beginning of September. So then at the end of September, he kicks off the North American tour. So he'll be Illinois, Michigan. So Toronto is on September 30th, which is awesome, but it's also a Monday. He does have a few days off in between. So from his Toronto show, and then he goes to Niagara Falls, Canada on the 4th and the 5th, which is a Friday, Saturday. Then he takes off for Ottawa. He goes to Winnipeg. He goes to Edmonton, Alberta, and Calgary, Alberta, and Vancouver, BC.
Wait, please continue. I just have to wash my hand because I'm slightly bleeding because my cat bit me because she's an asshole. Please continue. I'll be right back. Okay.
All right. Sounds good. So, sorry. Calgary, Alberta, Vancouver, BC, Victoria, BC. So that is basically the Canadian tour. Unfortunately, he's not heading to the East Coast. There's more dates. Hold up. So then he goes to like Washington, California, Arizona, New Jersey, Connecticut. And then he comes back to Montreal, Quebec for 2 days in November. So November 12th and 14th. And then some Texas. And then he finishes in California on November 23rd. So ticket sales are up. They're going well. He announced it. It went on sale at the fan club like 2 days later or a day later. And then so.
Yeah, I feel like we're looking at the next day, honestly.
Yeah. So basically from all of October, November, he'll be traveling like North America doing this tour. We have talked about this tour before. I'm not sure if he's going to switch it up for the second leg, if he's going to change up some songs, but you can go look up our Who Am I tour reviews. He was here in November last year, and we were in Niagara Falls for that. So we're going to Niagara Falls and Toronto, obviously. So Toronto is general admission. Niagara Falls does have seats. And yeah. So,
and he listens. See, we've been saying, come to Toronto, come to Toronto. And here he is. He's finally coming to Toronto.
Well, and the thing is that he does well in Canada. So the last tour, we only had the Niagara Falls dates, and that was it. And I had a lot of like southern US, which was bizarre. So I feel like this is good. So he's basically going all over the world this year. So good for him. He did have to cancel a con. We're recording this on Saturday, so yesterday. So there was a convention, Horror Hound, in
Cincinnati.
So that was a remake because he had canceled last year, so he had moved it to this date, and then he ended up canceling day of, which kind of sucks. Like, it really does. But the thing is, due to illness. But the problem is that when you go to a convention, not a problem. You can't go for one person. Like, as much as we say that, the conventions are like the best ways to meet the celebrities, and it's really great, and you have way more time, and it's cheaper than doing like VIPs at concerts and stuff like that. So like, cons are great to go to if the artist shows up. So unfortunately, he did post a little video on Full Empire kind of saying that he was sick and wasn't going to be there, and was sorry about that. But it just kind of sucks when you don't get advance notice. Like, obviously, things come up, emergencies come up, but like, at least like 24 hours in advance, you can cancel most hotels and things like that. So a lot of people were already in Cincinnati when they found out it was canceled, but the girls are making the most of it. I see them posting pictures online and stuff like that. So anyways, that has nothing to do with today's episode. So we are... Guys, you know what I said last week? The only way that I would do a Justin Timberlake album review is if Lydia came back on the podcast. And look, here she is.
Oh my God.
I thought I was safe, but
I don't think so.
So just so you know, Lydia has not listened to the album.
No.
So she's just going to listen to me and
that's okay. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, no offense, guys. Yikes, man. Yikes. All the Justin controversy that's been happening with, you know, the Britney stuff and the whole, like, I'm getting a divorce and whole, like, hey, let me parade in sync around so that way you guys don't forget that I'm Justin Timberlake. Like, there's a lot of Justin hate in my heart. So, whatever. Sorry, people. Sorry, listeners. If you like Justin Timberlake, I particularly don't. I've had in-person meetings with him where he's been a douche canoe. So I have my own reasons. But anyways, so yes, I...
Sure. Honestly, fair enough. And as a non-Justin fan for most of my life...
Yes. In fact, you've been the most vocal.
I have been the most... It pained me to listen to this album. And I had to psych myself up to listen to it and try to be impartial and just listen to the album because... Okay. Again, as Lydia said, I've also had some bad experiences with Justin in person in the past.
You have. Yes, I've been a hair witness.
Yes. So like the Challenge for the Children that one time, that was annoying. Mm-hmm. Long story short, we were staying at the same hotel that the celebrities were staying at because it was the host hotel. We didn't actually know the celebrities were going to stay there. That was actually a surprise to me. So then we had met some sisters and then we were going to the pool. Literally going to the pool, did not have any sort of cameras or anything, literally just had our towels and our room keys. And we had gone down the elevator to head towards the pool because there was nothing planned at that time. And as we get out of the elevator to walk down the hallway, the security guard's like, you can't come here. And we're like, we're going to the pool. And they're like, you can't, blah, blah, blah. But there was literally nowhere for us to go because it was the
one hallway
elevator. it was the elevators were at the end of the hallway. This door was for staff only, like behind the scenes. And that's where we had to go. So we're like, why is this guy being such a dick to us? And then we see it's because Justin is coming to the elevator. And none of us were Justin fans at all. So we had to like hide in this like alcove that was like where a fucking vase was. And we were just like, had to like press ourselves against the wall so we couldn't be in, because they're like, stand back, blah, blah, blah. We're like, what the fuck? Like, we're not, we don't even give a shit. We're literally just going to the pool. And they're just like, don't. So then I was like, okay. So then they get to the elevator, which is right in front of us because we weren't allowed to walk down the hallway. And then I'm thinking, okay, maybe the bodyguard just being a dick and like is used to like people like chasing Justin or whatever. So he gets in the elevator, the elevator doors are about to close, and he's just like, he's just bouncing a basketball down the hallway, gets in the elevator. And I was like, oh, good luck at the game tomorrow. He's like, yeah, whatever. And he's like, we're like, okay, you fucking dick. And then we still weren't allowed to go by down that hallway, even though he was gone. So like somebody from the hotel had to take us like behind the scenes of like the laundry facility and shit to get us out to the pool. And we're like,
that's weird.
Was that like, it was just like, he was just like a very dismissive jerk, because maybe it was because there's four fat chicks there, I don't know, or if he just thought that we were fans. But then ironically Chris and Joey were at the pool, so then we went back, got our cameras and took pictures with them, and they were perfectly lovely people and human beings.
They were
just saying. And then like the other time when I first met Justin, we're doing the autograph signing, he just basically ignored me and was just like looking at other people, and I'm like, okay, I'm literally standing in front of you, but that's fine. Okay, so
yeah.
And then I blamed him for breaking up NSYNC because of Lance going and not having Lance go to space and stuff. So anyways, I'm trying to be a grown up and I'm trying to be okay with everything. So I was like, all right, I will listen to this album. So there you go. Sophia,
I was kind of a fan.
Okay.
I was kind of a fan. Like when they first started, NSYNC first started, he was my favorite. I chose him as my favorite. As time went on, the things he did, like the bad things he did with Britney, my viewpoint changed. Certain stories you hear, I'm like, I don't know if I can be a fan of this man. And then you're like, oh, the songs are good. But then you hear like more things that he did to Britney. And then you're like, maybe not.
Yeah. Sorry. For shiz.
So, yeah. I do have one of his albums because I really like that album, which is Future Sex Love Sounds.
Oh, okay.
I really like that one because it has some good songs.
Sexy Back on it.
Yeah,
that was a good song.
Can I just say how much I hate that song? No offense to Lydia, but Lydia made an anime music video to that song.
I did.
And to make an anime music video, it takes a lot of work because you have the song, then you got to put the little clips of the movie or the TV show and whatever. So she would just play that song constantly. Like constantly. It's a good video that she did.
Back in the day, they didn't have earphones, so I used to torment my family
I can't hear this song anymore.
Was it like Payback because you ruined some of the NSYNC songs for her?
No,
I don't think she even knew that it was specific.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't until this
every time I hear that song, I'm like, oh, like the first opening notes, I get like cringe. I'm like, no, I can't hear this song again.
I'm sorry.
And then the troll song, the first one, he had a good song.
I did like that song. Can't Stop the Feeling.
Can't Stop the Feeling.
That one, I was like, okay, it was fun. Right.
And then you're like, okay. And then he's doing like so many like not so nice things. So I'm like, it's like hard, you know? Like,
it's hard to separate the art from the artist, you know?
Yeah.
It's very difficult, but you know, it's.
Yeah.
And people say you can't, right?
I'm not really a fan of his anymore. Yeah. But I did try to listen to all these songs, but they're very long.
Can I just say that most albums have like what, maybe 12 to 14 songs, something like that.
And usually the songs range between 3 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. This one has 18 songs. There's a lot of songs.
And then the least amount of song was like 252. And I'm like, oh my God.
Isn't there a song that's 7 minutes long on this?
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you know, Queen you ain't, but okay. All right.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you were.
All right. Anyway, so
we're just putting that all out there. So our apologies if we're not that nice.
I tried to stay very nice. I tried to. So I tried to be impartial. But yeah, there's just... Okay. So it did... It took me a long time to psych myself up to listen to the album. And I'm like, okay, let's just get this out of the way. Whatever. We're good to go. So I'm just going to do...
Take what we say with a grain of salt. Now that you all know our...
So you know our biases, and obviously you know Sophia is a giant Backstreet Boys fan and hated NSYNC back in the day as well. So take it all with a grain of salt. If you enjoyed the album, then good for you. I do think it's better than that last Hanson album. So,
Well,
that's not saying much, but yes.
Yes. Also, our cousin sent us this really weird music video this morning and our last night, and I watched it this morning and it was so terrible. So I was just like, okay, this song can't, this album can't possibly be as terrible as this song.
Yeah. That was a weird one. Yeah. That was,
I still, what is even, it? What was the song?
Special.
Okay. So we can't pull it up for you because we don't want to get the copyright striked, but essentially it was the musician.
But is, I don't know if he has special different abilities, maybe, and maybe that's why I feel like maybe we shouldn't comment on that song.
Well, no, I can just tell you guys what it is, so you guys can listen to it in your own time. It's Ice JJ Fish on the Floor. So if you have
never heard of it,
yeah, if you've had some time, take a look at it. It's a bit of a head scratcher. So yes, okay. So that being said.
That being said, this album is better than that. So there you go.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So I'm just going to do our, as our traditional quick Wikipedia recap of this album.
Very good. Right. Yes.
Un momento, por favor.
All right.
So as we know, this album is called Everything I Thought It Was. I don't know why I say as we know because I keep forgetting the name myself, but it's called Everything I Thought It Was. Is the sixth studio album. I didn't realize he was up to six now. It's pretty impressive, I guess. By American singer-songwriter Justin Timberlake. It was released through RCA Records on March 15th, 2024. The album features guest appearances from Fireboy DML. I don't know how to say this person's name, so I feel really bad. Toby Wigway and Timberlake's band NSYNC. Production was handled by Timberlake himself, Danja, Angel Lopez, Frederico Vindver, Calvin Harris, Timbaland, Louis Bell, Cricket, Ryan Tedder, Andrew DeRoberts, and Rob Knox. So there's some names that I recognize for sure.
Yeah, Ryan Tedder from One Republic. Tedder,
Calvin Harris, Timbaland.
Yes, Calvin Harris, yes.
The album was preceded by two singles, Selfish and No Angels, which, by the way, I did not realize that was its single until after I listened to the album. And then that came up as a video. And then I watched the video afterwards. So I'll make a note on that. And the promotional single, Drown, which I did not hear that as a promotion. It serves as the follow up to his previous album, Man of the Woods, from 2018.
Yeah, which people were not a fan of.
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yes. So the runtime is 76 minutes and 54 seconds.
You felt it a lot, that runtime.
So in 2023, Timberlake reunited with his former band members of NSYNC and released the single Better Place, which is an excellent song, I feel.
Absolutely fun and catchy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In support of the Trolls Band Together soundtrack, as well as a collaboration with Timbaland and Nelly Furtado titled Keep Going Up. Did you guys know about that?
No.
That's not even on the album. Okay. In addition to Keep Going Up, Timberlake had also collaborated with Romeo Santos on the song Sin Fin.
Nope.
It sounds like a fish that has gone
like a awry. Sexy fish.
Sexy fish? I don't know. Shark. It doesn't really say. Oh, it's on his album. It's on Romeo's album. With Jack Harlow on his album Come Home, The Kids Miss You on the song Parrot Trap, a remix of Coco Jones' I See You, and a further remix of the song 3D by Jungkook. Oh, I didn't realize he also did a Jungkook. Oh, yes, I did realize that. Yes.
Yes. Remember we shared it into our chat?
Yeah. And didn't JC just recently do something with one of the BTS guys too?
No, I believe
he did it with Liam Liam Payne from One Direction.
Oh, yes. Right? One Direction. Sorry. Yes. Yes.
To Justin's credit, he does work with a lot of
artists.
Not like a lot of big name artists, but also like a lot of unique artists as well.
That's true. Yeah.
All right. That's the only thing I'm going to say. That's nice. Okay. Continue.
Timberlake has also worked with Calvin Harris, producer of Fucking Up the Dance Floor, Disco, sorry, and No Angels on his song Stay With Me alongside Pharrell Williams and Halsey. A few months after the release of the singles, the singer-songwriter unveiled a trailer for an upcoming project titled Everything I Thought It Was on January 19th, 2024, narrated by actor and Reptile co-star Benicio del Toro. He announced the album on January 25th alongside the release of the lead single Selfish. About the album, Timberlake revealed that it was incredibly honest moments, but also a lot of fucking fun. He randomly swears in this album for no reason. It just sounds stupid. Anyways.
Okay.
He's trying to be cool.
He would call it.
Some guy who was like, when he said that.
Oh,
what was that? I don't know. Yeah, that's what. Sorry.
Benicio del Toro.
You're like, he swears a lot. And then you pulled up that and he's like,
All right.
It's good timing.
To click on that.
Sorry, go ahead.
He announced the album on January 20th, blah, blah, blah. He revealed that it was incredibly honest moments, but also a lot of fucking fun. He would call it his most straightforward record to date, referring to it as a complex within its simplicity. Okay. In an interview with Zane Lowe for Apple Music New Music, Timberlake said the album titled was inspired from when a friend, after listening to the album, told him, "This sounds like everything I thought I wanted from you."
Was that like a backhanded compliment? What does that mean?
I don't know. The title appears at the end of the opening track, Memphis. Okay. So on January 19th, he performed a free one-night-only concert at the Orpheum in Memphis, where he live debuted the new single Selfish after teasing a new project on social media. In promotion of the record on January 25th, he was on The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon. He announced the release of Selfish and revealed the album had taken 4 years to produce. Oh, God. Timberlake appeared as a musical guest on January 27th episode of Saturday Night Live, singing Selfish and Sanctified. On January 30th, he was on the Kelly Clarkson show and held an intimate concert at Irving Plaza, New York City on January 31st, his 43rd birthday. He appeared as the musical guest where he performed Selfish on the Graham Norton show, recorded in London on February 22nd, the night before he canceled one night only concert due to being held at the Roundhouse in London. He was recovering from illness. In the weeks leading to the release, Timberlake also revealed a deluxe edition with limited merchandise, blah, 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 the back cover was inspired by Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Okay.
By the way, did you guys hear about the Willy Wonka thing that happened in Glasgow?
Yes, that was hilarious.
No, what happened?
Have you not heard that? Oh my God. Lydia.
Okay, so essentially what happened was there was this like event planning company. And what they ended up doing, they used a lot of like AI art and like to promote their work, right? So people were like, oh my God, it's going to be this wonderful candy land of magic, right? So then like they sold the tickets and then like it turns out it was just like a big giant empty warehouse. It was just like, it looks so sad. And like, all the actors were like super depressed.
Oompa Loompa looked like
so all the parents complained and then it became viral.
The police got called.
It was just
wow.
And it just turned into like this like hilarious like meme. And and now the Oompa Loompa lady, she's actually like doing, I think, cameos and stuff now. So like it worked out for her, which is great. But
yeah, they didn't get paid. They didn't have enough candy. They didn't have it looked like nothing like the pictures. They didn't get their script till the day before. Like
the script was AI generated and it was all gibberish.
Wow. Yes,
there was this random creepy man hiding behind a mirror and
like the AI, because the AI doesn't know, right? So the AI just like it just started making up characters for the creepy man, and like that guy's not even part of the Willy Wonka world, but like he became
definitely
it.
Not but he was like
oh my God, that's hilarious.
It was a shenanigans. You should definitely look it up. It's really
very funny. Anyways, sorry, please continue.
Selfish was released as the first single on January 25th. Drown was teased on February 19th and released as a promotional single on February 23rd. No Angels was released as a second single on March 15th, and he performed that on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Timberlake will promote the album on the Forget Tomorrow World Tour, which will begin on April 29th in Vancouver, Canada. He's also doing a documentary about the album's creation process, and he announced a summer tour, 2024 European tour dates. Everything I Thought It Was achieved moderate success in Europe and Germany. It debuted at number 5 and number 3 in the Netherlands. In the UK, number 5. Additionally, the album debuted at number 1 on the album's download charts, number 15 on the UK and Australia. Interesting how they don't, on number 23, they don't really say North America. But anyways, there you go. We'll probably show that later. Okay, so we are quite into this episode, so we should get to the track listings.
You betcha.
Especially when there's 18 songs.
18 to go. So, yes. So the first song was Memphis. It was written by Justin Timberlake, Kenyon Dixon, Floyd Nathaniel Hills. It was produced by Justin Timberlake and Danja. Okay. So that was the first song they decided to start this album with. And it started with it had a really weird musical note start. Some of the lyrics were, "You gonna be a star," they said, "who cares if there's too much on your plate, there's no crying from the clouds." He also talks about ass and titties.
Nice.
So basically it's basically talking about how people kept pushing him to ignore his feelings and keep making money and make his city and state proud and all this other shit. So this was kind of like, so that's kind of what it was about. It's about, I guess, his life. And I wrote, it's not my type of music. I thought it was kind of, it sounded very Drake light. And I'm not a fan of Drake to begin with. And I said that
Don't say that too loud. They're going to take your passport.
I
know.
They're going to take away my Canadian passport. I don't like that type of music. I really don't. I'm more of like pop, boy band, Eurodance, like fun, like upbeat shit, pop punk sometimes, like, but like that type of music where it's all like whiny and like I don't like it. I'm sorry. So like 30 seconds in, I was like, is this how the whole fucking album is going to be? I feel like,
yeah, but sure it is.
I don't want to listen to this album. This is what it's going to sound like. But then I forced myself to continue. So needless to say, Memphis is not one of my favorite songs. It is my least favorite on this album. All right, Sophia.
Okay.
Here we go.
When I pressed play, I was like, okay, maybe I'll like it because it's the first song, right? How bad could it be? Was I ever wrong?
Famous last words.
This was like the worst song to start off this album. I'm also not
a good set the pace song for sure.
Yeah, like I think he should have started with something fun.
Like a banger.
And exciting and like get you like pumped that you're listening to a new JT album. But yeah, I don't think he did it that.
It was like, it was almost like depressing that I'm just like miserable. Like I just did not like this song. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I was like, is this a song like you really want to like share with fans like right away? Like, don't you want it to be like fun?
I guess. So, like, I guess it was because it's the start.
Yeah,
the start is he's talking about his life. I don't know. I just did not like this song. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we get our first taste of swear word. Fucking up the disco. That is written by Justin, Angel Lopez, Frederico Vindver, and Adam Richard Wiles. Produced by Justin, Angel Lopez, Frederico Vindver, and Calvin Harris, who is an actual musician. Okay. Not that these other people aren't. I'm sorry. I don't know why I said that. Okay. Fucking up the disco. It's without a G. So it starts with a DJ talking about JT's new album. Like it sounds like you're at a disco. It's like, oh, Justin Timberlake has a new album. Blah, blah, blah.
Wouldn't that have been good to be the first song?
Yeah, you'd think. Yeah. You'd think. Okay. So one was.
I would think so, yeah.
Yep, this was more upbeat and there was some dancey. It was more dancey. I said it was better than the last song, which again does not take much because I just really hated that song.
Fair.
There was still a lot of talk singing verses, you know, like blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, you're just like not really singing. You're just like talking quickly type thing. That's kind of what the chorus is. All you got to do is free your mind and watch your body. and watch your body start to follow suit. So it was kind of, so that part was kind of catchy. I said it was an okay song, and there was a rapper in this one too. So I don't know. I didn't make this revelation until way later. But if there was an actual rapper on the song that wasn't Justin, or if it was just him rapping and like, I don't know, but it sounded like a different person. So I'm like, oh, is every song going to have a guest thing? So anyways, it was better than the last song. So.
Wow. I did not like this song either. I was like, wow, 0-2, Justin, what is happening? And then I was like, should I continue to listen to the, because like, wow, it's not going well for me.
All right.
Continued on, obviously, because of the podcast.
Is your team player.
That's right. So number three,
No Angels is written by Justin Timberlake, Angel Lopez, Frederico Vinder, and Adam Wiles. It is produced by Timberlake, Lopez, Vinder, and Harris again. Okay. So I said this was actually like upbeat singing. Some of the lyrics are, because you're looking like gas and I'm looking for mileage. I was like, okay, so she's a car, or you just want to put some miles on her? I don't know. It was just so
it
weird.
It sounded like a different song too. I don't know. I kind of felt like it was like a similar song that he sang before.
Maybe that's supposed to sound sexy.
I guess. Like, hey, you're a car full of gas. I don't know. Good girls tuck away their wings. There's no angels here on the dance floor. So there ain't no angels here. Got fun on my mind, and I've chosen you. Wow, how lucky for us. Yes.
Gross.
Song, I said the song is okay. It's better than the other two tempo-wise. The other rapper dude is also on this. And
not
I said,
going
this is
well.
The best so far. So I gave it a half a star.
Okay.
I said it was the best so far. So if you do your review, and then I'll talk to you about the music video, because I went and watched
I watched the music video, and then I was like, I don't think these song lyrics go with this video. Like, I don't understand what's happening. Like, why did they, like, scratch his face? And, like, why is there, like, a girl with wings? Like, I didn't understand what was happening. So... like, it's better than the last two, but the video was very weird.
All right, Lydia, let me set the pace for you.
I'm like,
you
maybe it's supposed to be like avant-garde, like it's supposed to be like artsy, like Lady Gaga vibes.
Sure, we'll go with that. Okay, so he drives to a castle in a convertible, right? Nice. So it's all like he has this fancy white convertible. There's nobody there. He opens the door to this castle thing. And then there's people dancing on the dance floor. But he is up on a balcony.
That's unfortunate. Yes. When you rent an Airbnb, people are dancing in it.
so he is above the crowd, like watching them. And it has kind of you know how like at a church, they have those like stained glass like thing behind him. So he looks like, I don't know, he's at a church or something.
Uh-huh.
So then he's like looking down at this crowd of people dancing, and he picks this one girl, which... uh-huh. It was a weird choice, but okay.
Uh-huh.
So then he goes down.
Did she look like Quasimodo? Was she like,
I don't know. She was just like, wearing like a black bodysuit that was like lace and like had very short hair and was slick back. And she was just like, she was just dancing and things.
So there was like no angel
in the crowd. And like, this is the chick I'm going to go after. I'm picking you.
Okay.
So then he goes down, and then he's at like, there's a bar, like a little bar set up. And for some reason, that kind of reminded me of Lucifer. I started getting like the Lucifer vibe, and I was like, all right. If Tom Ellis shows up, that'd be great. He did not. Uh-huh. Anyways, so he picks up this drink, and then he starts like walking towards this girl, just puts the drink down, didn't even drink it. There's people like making out in front of him. He's just like, his eyes are on this chick. He's headed down there.
Okay.
So then as soon as he gets to her, they just start like dancing up against each other and stuff. But then all of a sudden he is on the balcony again, but wearing sunglasses. So he like sees himself up there wearing the sunglasses, gets confused.
I would be too. Yeah.
Right. So then as he's slightly distracted, suddenly all the other dancers are now surrounding him, and they all have white eyes. Like, you know, they don't have like pupils.
So like were they vampires or like
demons?
Zombies?
Maybe. I was thinking like demons. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Realizing that everybody has these white eyes, including the girl he's dancing with. Then she just cuts his face with her nails. So you're like, okay. So then the sunglasses Justin has now come to the floor and he's like coming towards him. So I don't know if he's trying to save him or what. Meanwhile, they're all still dancing. So then the girl is now suddenly on like a little bit of like a lift, a stage, an altar thing. And suddenly she has these like demon wings because, you know, they don't have feathers. They're just like,
yeah,
it has like the like a bat wing type thing. So he's still dancing in front of her. And then she starts spitting out this like black ink, tar. I don't know what it is.
It was gross. Goes
out of her mouth and lands on his mouth and chin. And I feel like germaphobe Lydia would be like,
Oh my God.
Now, especially during COVID times. Come on.
No.
Yeah. So then like suddenly like there's lots of blood and all these demons or whatever they are have blood on these no angels have blood on them.
Yeah.
So that whatever. And they do that. So then he's like, okay, cut. And then you realize that Justin is the director and he goes and he does this great big speech about, all right, everyone, this is a wrap. Amazing job. Give it up for the angel. And, you know, and then go get cleaned up. You guys all look gross. And then he like leaves. You're like, okay, harsh. So then he leaves the building and he has a little like jacket over his shoulder. And then he like smiles at the production people that are outside this castle. Then he opens his trunk. Inside of his trunk is a dude, first I thought it was him, but it's not him, I don't think. Just a dude covered in blood with these weird like snake worm things all over him.
Uh-huh.
Looking for help. So then Justin just puts his coat on top of this guy that is alive in his trunk and then just shuts the trunk. Then gets into the car.
Uh-huh.
And now that angel chick,
uh-huh,
is in the car with him and they kind of like look at each other and like smile and they and then he has his eyes all white and she has her eyes all white and then he puts the sunglasses on and drives away. I was like, okay.
It was a very weird music video.
That sounds weird. No, thank you.
Like okay, I guess angel,
that would be good. No, I don't know.
I was not impressed.
It was a concept that, you know, he went with. So yeah, that kind of made me hate the song a little bit more, but I had already put a half star there. So I'm like, I don't know. Okay. Anyways. Okay.
Moving along. We're at 47 minutes and I think we're on number three.
We're on number four. So
okay,
play.
No, number four. Now. Okay.
I have no more video recaps after this. So it'll be much shorter.
Okay.
Okay. So Play is by Timberlake, Ryan Tedder, Michael Polak, Hills, Vindver, Zach Skelton, and Andrew DeRoberts. It was produced by Timberlake, Tedder, Vindver, Danja, and DeRoberts. I said I didn't like the beginning. When the voice starts high and then goes lower, it was a weird sound to it. It almost sounded like it was whiny. And it's like, I just want to play. Like, it was just like, you know, when it starts up high and goes low, there was a lot of, yeah. He basically wants to play with you for one night is the theme of this song. And then I said, I'm not a fan of this song. So I did not like this song. So
That's fair.
I was like, what is this song? Like, I don't understand. I don't know. I think he should have put like something else. I don't know.
It was just like it was annoying to my ear to listen to it. Like it was,
and
like,
which is surprising because Ryan Tedder's like really good songwriter. So
yeah, we can't all have hits all the time.
Maybe we need to listen to it more than once. But I was like, one time is good.
That's true. Yeah, because sometimes we do album reviews, we do listen two or three times. I did not have time or patience to do that. So that's
I think that's a good enough.
Okay, number five is Technicolor. It's written by Timberlake, Timothy Mosley, Dixon Lopez, Vindver, Lawrence Dobson, and Rio Root. It was produced by Timberlake, Timbaland, Lopez, and Vindver. Okay, so
this song is 7 minutes long.
Oh, yeah. This was the one. This is the
this
one.
Was the one. All so. Right. So again, he has to swear again. And he's like, you're so fucking perfect, girl, in every way. So this is kind of like a love song. Darling, I can never get enough. And that's the thing about your love. Every day, every night, only you. I said the tempo's okay. Kind of slow. His voice was a little too high pitched because you know how Justin does like higher notes.
Mm-hmm.
So then let's make love in Technicolor. Loving another is black and white. So he loves having sex with this broad. It's way better than anyone else. So there's Technicolor. I said it was an okay song. Not my favorite, but not the worst.
Wow.
But it is a long song that keeps going. Like, it's fine, but it's very long. Like, I feel like this song could have been half of the time because it's basically just a bunch of repetitiveness. And yeah. I feel like they could have done it as like a 4-minute song and it would have been good. But like, it did not need to be stretched out to 7 minutes, I thought.
No,
and afterwards, I was like, is this the 7-minute song that Sophia warned me about? Because I swear to God, if there's another song that's longer than this, like, it just felt long. I was like, why is this song still on? Like, but other than that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's surprising in this day and age when people have a lot less patience to make right. a choice to do a 7-minute song. That's a very interesting choice. You'd think they would be all killer, no filler, but here's maybe not the case. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So go ahead. Sorry.
I just thought it was way too long. I agree with Chinzia. It should have like cut it in half. Like 3 minutes and 30 seconds probably would do the trick, but yeah. It was just way too long. And then at one point I was like, oh my God, this song is like too much. Like,
and then you're thinking, okay, maybe it'll like loop off and do something else, but it wasn't. It was basically the same song for the 7 minutes. So you're just like, okay, yeah. It does not need to be this long.
Agreed. Yes.
That was okay. A choice.
That was a choice. Sure.
Yes.
Okay. Number 6 is Drown. Not to be confused with Drowning, which is a delightful song.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is written by Timberlake, Amy Allen, Henry Walter, Louis Bell, and Dixon. It is produced by Timberlake, Bell, and Cricket. Okay, so some of the lyrics are, you showed me exactly who you are, and I should have believed it. You left me out in the dark with all your demons. So it definitely sounds like it's a breakup song. I was blinded by my heart. Should never follow you this far. I'm in too deep. Now I'm drowning. You never tried to save me. So I was like, is she deceiving him or is she just burdening him with past trauma? Right. So that's, I'm like, if the song is about her like leading him on and whatever, then I can understand like she brought him in too much and now he's drowning and he whatever. But if she's just like talking about her past traumas and he's like, nah, this just seems like a lot of effort. I don't want to deal with it. Then I feel like that would make him feel like that's a dick. So I don't really know what the feeling of this song is. But yeah, it's and I said the song sounded okay, so yeah,
that's what I got for that. So one. I don't know if it was because I wanted to like a song, because all the other ones weren't that great,
yeah.
So I thought this one was actually pretty good,
okay.
It wasn't a bad song.
I was like, okay, finally, one song I could get like into, right? So yeah. I thought this one was pretty good.
Yeah.
Which is not saying much because the other ones were really bad.
I feel like I just started overthinking it at the end, but like the sound of it was pretty good. So
yeah,
oh, no.
That's a good one. Okay.
All right. Number 7, Liar, featuring Fireboy DML. It is written by Timberlake, Ademola Adefolhan, Dixon Hills, Atia Boggs, and Allen. And it is produced by Timberlake and Dunja. So I said this one was upbeat. I could say I don't love you, but I would be a liar. So he's the liar in this one. I know that you may be my only desire. Even when I'm coldest, you set me on fire. I said it wasn't bad. Like it sounded okay, wasn't bad. So thought it was okay. Yeah.
So I was like, wow, okay, 2 songs that like not bad at all. So I was like, okay, maybe it could like help him to get like at least a passing grade on this album.
Fair enough.
It's an okay song.
All right. Number 8 is it's called Infinity Sex. It is written by Justin Timberlake, Lopez, Mosley, Vinder, James Fauntleroy and Wiles, produced by Timberlake, Timberland, Vindver, and Harris. I did not like the robot sounding start.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to love you for eternity. I said it was meh. Then some of the lyrics are, pray this hotel room is insured. How many times, if I had to guess, if I had to guess, infinity sex. So he's like, oh, this hotel room better be insured because we're going to have sex for infinity amount of times and apparently destroy this hotel room.
Let me just say, the chafing that would happen if that happened would not, the human body is not meant to do that. But okay, continue.
A lot of his songs are about having sex all throughout the night. And I was like, okay, there, buddy. Maybe you need a nap. I don't know. Anyway, so the future is a mess, but I want to love you for eternity. So you're like, okay, that's kind of a nice lyric. Then a French girl, possibly a robot, I'm not really sure, says, le fait l'amour à l'infinity. So basically, like, love is infinity sex or whatever, have sex for infinity, but in French, so it sounds more classy.
May I interject? Perhaps he's talking about having sex with a robot, in which case, then you could have sex, infinity sex. Yes.
So then I wrote, is he having sex with a robot?
Oh my God, Jizya! We had the same idea.
And then I said, it's kind of weird. But remember those like weird robot sex dolls you were talking about?
For yes, Jizya, AI's just getting better and better, guys. Maybe Justin's on to something.
Well, I was just like, I was very confused, but I said it was kind of weird. Anyways, okay. Sophia, what do you got?
I also agree with you. It was kind of weird. And I was like, oh my God, this album is going down the tubes after like maybe two songs that are good.
Oh no. All right. Up next, we have Love and War, written by Timberlake, Dixon, Lopez, Mosley, Vindver, and Dobson. Produced by Timberlake, Timbaland, Lopez, and Vindver. Some of the lyrics are, baby, you're the only one I fight for, and even if we lose, we still make love when we make war. So I go, basically, it's like an anthem for married couples, I think, or highly dysfunctional ones.
Also a good point, yeah.
I said it was an okay song, but it was a bit high-pitched, like he was singing a bit high on this one, so. Eh.
No. I at one point was like, let me fast forward this song.
Oh my.
I'm sorry.
It's only a three minute and 30 second song.
I couldn't. Yeah. I was like, these songs are not good. I don't know if they all sound the same, if they all are like not flowing well. I don't know what it is, but I just, yeah, I cannot. This song was not.
Wasn't everything you thought it was?
No.
Okay, so next up is Sanctified featuring Toby Nwigwe. I'm sorry, I have no idea how
to. What number is this one?
This is number 10. We're good. We're more than halfway. Written by Timberlake, Toby Kawuchu Nwigwe, Dixon, Robin Tadros, and Hill. It was produced by Timberlake, Danja, and Rob Knox. Okay, so it starts that they're like talking, this Toby guy, I think. Is that how, Toby? T-O-B-E. Was that how you, would you say Toby?
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 I don't know.
Is talking to the crowd. Then it was like something about how we all break the rules, makes a sinner feel so blessed. You take away my worries, move right along and fix my mess. Forgive sins, make me sanctified. So it's kind of like going to like a church, like she doesn't judge him and she puts like a halo on him. There's a lot of, this one has a lot of very fast talking. I liked this Toby person's voice. I thought they had a good voice. Rid me of my sins, forgive them and make me a new man. There was like a lot of rock and guitar. It was just like, it was like a weird, it almost sounded like one of those like revival songs or something. I don't know. It was just like, it was a lot of guitar and rocky sound near the end. I said it was an okay song and it was definitely different. It was different than the other songs on the album. It kind of reminded me of that, like Take Me to Church song or something like that.
Oh yeah.
Had like a bit of that kind of a vibe, and it was kind of like a preacher, and I don't know. It was interesting, different. I don't know.
Experimental, I guess.
Yeah.
It was unique. It was a unique song. Maybe like, yeah,
I don't know. It also kind of reminded me of Lucifer a little bit. I don't know, I've been rewatching it. I don't know. So
Everything's reminding me of Lucifer for some reason.
So some reason this show that I'm watching is now reminding me of this album. It was crazy.
A good show is trying to get you to like something, maybe.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Okay, so number 11 is My Favorite Drug. This is written by Timberlake, Bell, Walter, Theron Thomas, Allen, and Douglas Ford. Produced by Timberlake, Bell, and Cricket.
My favorite drug is Advil.
Yes, yes.
It does help when you're not well.
Oh my God. All right, so Lydia, I think you would possibly like this song.
Okay.
So it kind of starts off sounding very like RuPaul, Todrick Hall-ish.
Ooh, okay.
So then there's some lyrics like, we just might be falling in love tonight. I'm going to give it to you. You feel like my favorite drug.
Why would this is my favorite?
No, I'm just at the sound of it. I feel.
Okay.
I said it could be a drag race song. Like I could hear this song on Drag Race. It alternates between high energy singing and that low talking. At one point he's like, hey fellas, and they're like, yeah, and then he's like, yay, hey ladies, and they're like, yeah, we're gonna do all this other shit.
I do like when people do that. Yeah, that's fun.
So then the fellas and the ladies are like singing along with him at one point. And then I could actually kind of near the end, I started to kind of like picture like a Barbie-esque choreographed dance, you know, like that dance that I think. Yes, like I was kind of picturing that with this. So I was like, yeah, it was okay.
Okay.
It seemed like a weird song to put on here, but different. Yes.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay. Like I was kind of indifferent after a while. I'm just like, I don't know about this song anymore.
Yeah. True. All right, number 12 is Flame. It is written by Timberlake, Dixon Hills, Tad Ross, and Elliot Ives, produced by Timberlake, Danja, and Knox. It started very abruptly. I don't know if it's just because the way I was listening to it on the thing, and it went from this like favorite drug song, and then because I was listening to this one on YouTube, so that could probably have nothing to do with the actual song, but it just sounded very like it didn't flow well from the last song. Remember that you said you'd love me until I died. Promises we made. Who are you running from? What can I do to make you stay? He chases her to the end of the earth. Burnt memories of you and me, all we could take when love goes down in flames. So it's like about the end of a relationship. She wants to end it. He really doesn't want to end it. He keeps trying, but she's not really like giving him anything to try on. Uh-huh. And I said it's okay, but it's just like super repetitive. So I thought that was kind of like the thing.
By this song, I was like, when is the Paradise song gonna come on? Because I was like, oh my God.
Fair enough.
Song, I didn't like this song either. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yep. Fair.
I feel like all the songs are sounding like similar and I don't know. They just meshing together.
You're not excited to listen to the new song you want to just get this album over with.
Yeah. That's but fair. I got really excited when I was like, Paradise is coming, so that's good at least.
Just keeping you there. So number 13 is Imagination. It's written by Timberlake, Bell, Walter, Thomas, Allen, and Dobson. Produced by Timberlake, Cricket, and Bell. Use your imagination. Anything can happen tonight. I promise the
anything?
Real thing. Yes, basically, yes. This is another like sex all night song.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I promise the real thing is better than your imagination. Damn, girl, you looking like the star of my fantasy, and we ain't got to go to sleep to get to that dream. He has a lot of really bad grammar. And then one of the lines is, I heard you taste like cotton candy. And at this point, I was like, fuck, I could really use some cotton candy right now. Yeah. Like, I'm really hungry. I didn't eat lunch. I like cotton candy, but I don't want to envision her tasting like cotton candy. I want like actual cotton candy and not just some weird sex metaphor.
Does not fill you, madam. It's more like a snacky snack.
Yes. Sweet snacky snack. Yes.
Yeah.
I said the song was upbeat. It was okay. But I feel like only because I was starting thinking about cotton candy at that point. So,
okay. So,
All right. So by this song, I was like, okay, I can listen to this one because Paradise is coming up. I believe it's the next song.
It is not.
So I listened to it. I was okay. I was glad when it was over.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
You were glad when it was over. Okay, so
wow, okay.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry to the JT fans.
Yeah. So next song is number 14. It is What Lovers Do. It is written by Timberlake Dixon. Yes, they're taxes for sure. Timberlake Dixon, Mosley, Lopez, Vinver, and Dobson. Produced by Timberlake, Timbaland, Lopez, and Vinver. Okay, so Call In Sick. We gonna be up all night. He just really loves this night sex thing.
I mean, guess when can we kids. Just call in sick just to like, you know, like chill?
Chill and relax, yes, no.
Oh, shopping or something?
Like, okay, is he writing these songs about Jessica Biel, like his wife? Like,
I would assume so. I guess I the kids keep them up all day so they want to have sex all night. But then
this man is repressed, I feel, in my opinion.
Yes. Yeah. Please go ahead. At one point, he wants to swim in your ocean... divine or drive or something like an ocean vagina, I guess. I don't know. Baby, soon as I'm invited, tell me the things you like. So really, this song is about consent, and consideration is what lovers do. So, you know, they consider what you actually want. So there you go. So I was like, okay, I guess that's a good message.
That is a good message.
Mm-hmm. Then there's the bridge where it's do it, babe. Just repeatedly, it just keep do it, babe, just okay,
you really do it what?
Second yeah. night, we got you. The song is meh. I said it was very long and repetitive, so that's what lovers do.
So, I agree, it was long, repetitive, and not a fan.
Ironically, it's only 3 minutes and 42 seconds, it just felt longer than that.
Oh, so. No,
all right, so number 15 is Selfish. Which is a single. So Timberlake, Allen, Walter, Bell, and Thomas recorded it, and it was produced by Timberlake, Bell, and Cricket. Am I even saying his name right? C-I-R-K-U-T. Cricket?
Cricut?
Cricket?
I don't know. Cricut. Yeah.
Not sure. I think anyways, Cricket.
I think it's Cricket. Okay, so there is a music video to this. Oh, I watched this as a music video. So at the music video, he's at a concert. He's in a white t-shirt in a warehouse filming. And then they have like those director, like take whatever. And they just have a bunch of those. So it's kind of like behind the scenes of this. Then he decides he's going to climb through a really small door to get to a phone. But then it's a really tiny room that keeps shrinking as he gets there. And he's almost at the phone. And then he like bursts out of this room because it's too tiny.
I was like, a good thing he's not claustrophobic.
Yes, it keeps shrinking, but he can't. I don't know what the hell this says. I can't read my own writing. So then he breaks. There's like a diorama on the floor, and he like steps on it and breaks it, I guess, of this room. So okay. Then this dude and this chick like are picking up the broken pieces and moving it out of the shot, I guess. I don't know, to rebuild it or what. I was like, these fucking minions have to keep doing shit for you because you're just stomping on this hard made diorama. I don't know. And then he like sighs, and then he walks off, and he goes out into the rain to like with his leather jacket to escape this like horrible filming or whatever the hell. And then suddenly he's in the rain, and then he very briefly looks like Hugh Jackman, and then his face like Justin? Goes in and out. And suddenly, from being in the rain, now he's suddenly back on stage in his oversized suit, dancing around. And can I just say how much I hate the suit? Because at the very back, there's like some jewels on the neck, and it really annoyed me. And that's like the album cover. So, yeah.
Okay.
Anyways.
I don't know. I just feel like
the song is
so weirdly, like, they're not like.
I guess he wears
him. Like, I don't understand.
So he can dance.
I don't know. It's weird.
Do you think it's so he has more movement to dance, and that's why he's wearing like gigantic pants?
Maybe, but that's, I don't know. It's weird, no?
Yeah. So then obviously some of the lyrics, if I get jealous, I can't help it. I want every bit of you, but I can't hide it. You must be an angel. I said it's an okay song. It's not bad. It's a weird video. But yeah, that's basically.
This one is Selfish, right?
Yeah. Selfish.
So I just remember, like, the Britney Spears fans.
Oh, yes.
buying herself or stuff.
Oh, yes. That was incredible.
So I could do well on that.
So that she would outsell him on that song.
Yes. So I thought that was like, okay, this is the song that everyone doesn't really like. it's an okay song.
I think that's fair. It's a fair single. Like, it seems like a song that should be a single. So I thought,
Okay.
All right, number 16, Alone, written by Timberlake, Dixon, and Hill. And it is produced by Timberlake and Danja.
It doesn't look like he was alone when he wrote it.
No, but it's a lot less people than are on all the other songs.
Oh, wow.
Maybe this is just a way for him with his buddies to get extra cash. I don't know. Anyway,
maybe.
Heartbreak is the word right now. All out of, I don't know if I wrote chances or chaos. I think it says chances. Things don't always go the way we planned and we don't understand them. I said it's kind of slowish. There's definitely some violins and like a piano. Oh, okay. It's a breakup song. Yeah, so. I don't know. It was okay.
I don't know. I thought it was a boring song.
There's better songs that are called Alone.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. I just was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really like
this one. Yeah. Either. It was okay. All right. So next is Paradise. So what I did is I listened to the 18th song and then went back to listen to Paradise so it could be like the final song. But
interesting. Interesting.
Yes. So.
Can I just say how happy I was when it was Paradise? Like, I was like, this is a song I've been through so much right now. These boring songs.
This point.
Oh my God. I got to this point.
Somebody's knocking on my door. I'm just going to be right back.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Continue talking.
Really? Okay. Go ahead.
And then I was like, so excited. I was like, yes, Paradise. I love this song. This is such a good song. Joy that NSYNC was on it. They sound very good.
Yeah, yeah.
Their vocals were great.
Yeah.
Two thumbs up.
Hey, did you feel like nostalgia? You're like, yeah, this is the good stuff. This is what I've been missing, right?
Yeah, I also I watched a few videos from when he did his one concert show in LA and then he brought them on stage and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool that NSYNC's there and people get to see them, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think from that and then from listening on the album, I was like, yay, so nice.
Yeah
it was really nice live as well. They did a good job.
What's your personal opinion about him like dragging out the members of NSYNC like for his own benefit, or do you think that that's maybe not what he does?
I think that it's useful for him to do that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he would have done it if he didn't have an album coming out.
Yeah. Like, I feel
or
like.
Or a movie coming out. Like, I don't think he would have asked them unless, you know, he didn't have something to promote.
Does that come off as a bit selfish? Or like, is it? I feel like sometimes like Justin's like, okay, I'm going to do something big. Let me lean on my big bros. Hey guys, can you come out to like Coachella? Hey guys, can you come out to this movie premiere?
He wasn't at Coachella.
They were
MTV. The MTV Awards.
NSYNC was there, but he was not at Coachella.
Oh,
Justin's
okay.
Not there.
I think you mean MTV Awards or Music Awards or one of those things.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like anytime he's going to do something big, it's like, hey guys, are you busy? You know, it's just kind of like,
I don't know. I feel like he's been avoiding him for a while. So
I don't know. For me personally,
like, it's good because fans want it.
Of course they do. Yeah.
So like, whatever his motivation is, whatever, at least you know fans are getting more
a little bit, right?
Right.
So, yeah. It's like,
so I would take it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, we'll take any scraps right now because obviously we want.
I know.
Yeah.
So you guys talked a bit. Sorry, that was Gino.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. So I've been waiting forever for this moment between you and I. So it's kind of like, I think he said it's like a song for the fans. Did you already talk about that?
I did hear that. He said that. And I thought that was very nice. And some of the lyrics do make you think like, okay, they've been waiting for this moment.
And just look at us. We're right here. We're right where we belong. So that was nice.
Yes.
He does the whole second verse. Like, it's a good song. I enjoy it. I think it's good. There's a video of some guy saying that basically he thinks that Justin just like didn't realize how big the NSYNC trolls thing would be and that he's like, oh shit, I should probably get them on my album. So that's a theory that some people have, that like, okay, what song can I put them in as like backing vocals, basically. So that's what I was. So I don't know how truthful it is. I do enjoy the song. I thought it was great. A lot of people are saying that, oh yeah, of course. And then he announced like the tour and everything. And then people are like, oh yeah, like definitely NSYNC's going to show up on tour. I'm like, they're not going to show up on tour. No, like it's great that they showed up on the one night in LA. And that's great that they had this whole song, and that was, but like half of them live in LA and they were able to get the other two out. Yeah. And it was like a big thing right before the album came out and right before the tickets went on sale. But a lot of people who are more casual fans don't realize that the other guys have so many other commitments already. Like Chris is on tour with the Pop 2000 tour. Joey is on tour with AJ, A Legendary Night. Lance is doing like his film stuff. JC, I don't know what the heck JC does.
He's relaxing.
Producing, doing other stuff. But yeah, so I don't think that they are going to show up on Justin's tour at all. Maybe a one-off in like LA or something, but they're definitely not going to be on this tour. If they do get back together and do something, I don't think that'll be till next year, because Justin's tour is pretty much going till the end of this year, so or end of November. So there's really nothing they can really do. Like they might do like a one-off every once in a while, maybe something for Christmas with like whatever, but I don't think that they're going to do anything until at least next year. And I really hope they do, and I think that'd be great. I just hope the ticket costs are not as expensive as the Justin costs were, and obviously they're going to be, so...
If anything, they're going to be more.
And Joey has said that they haven't really had a chance to sit down, all five of them, to talk about what the future holds.
Yeah.
So can't really plan a tour also if you're not sitting down and talking about it yet.
Right, exactly.
I think he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it because he's already doing his own tour. He's already like, you know, Justin Timberlake is very much, I think, in my personal opinion, I mean, a little bit of a narcissist. You have to be a narcissist to be a famous person too, right? Because you have to believe in your own product enough that you think that other people want it, right? So he's getting what he wants out of it. And I think that he pulls NSYNC in usually when he needs help. And then he's like, okay, go back to your homes, peasants. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I personally don't think he'll ever go on tour with... The only time... Here's my prediction. The only time he'll ever go on tour with NSYNC is like, maybe in his 70s when he's had like a knee injury. That's like the only thing I can think of is where he's like, okay, boys, let's do it one more time. You know, like I think, but that's just my theory.
So they just had the 24th anniversary of No Strings Attached. So next year will be the 25th anniversary. So maybe they might do something for that. Maybe they, you don't know.
They could go to Orlando and maybe do something, because that's where they were from. Do
something fun, like that's around this time next year. So who knows? I'm still positive that they will do something. I just don't know what. And I think that with Paradise and Better Place doing so well and people really on this thing, I think that more people want NSYNC back. So I feel maybe they might actually... Yeah. Do something. I don't know. So I don't want to say this is like dead in the water, but I definitely think it's dead in the water for this year because Justin has no space. Like his tour is like, and it's him. And it's not like and it's his tour. So it's not like they're like, okay, let me bring NSYNC on tour to do like five songs and then kick them off backstage. Right. Like this is not happening. This is not happening on this tour. So
Sorry,
let us know in the comments, what do you think about that? Okay, continue.
All right. And the very last song is called Conditions. It is written by Timberlake, Dixon, Bell, Walter, Thomas, and Allen, and it is produced by Timberlake, Bell, and Cricket. Hate suit. Oh, I already mentioned this, that I hate the suit with the jewels on the back because I've been staring at it the entire album. But anyways, if I fuck up hundreds of times, will you still love me under those conditions? Like, I'm less Superman, I'm more Clark Kent. He said I'm less, another lyric is I'm less Batman, more Bruce Wayne. It's like, don't give up on me. I promise I'm listening. If I lost the life we were living and we were without a pot to piss in. So like, it basically sounds like this is kind of like marriage vows in a song. Fuck, I have no idea what I wrote.
Bruce Wayne, you ain't, bro.
You are but loud. Okay. You are loud. Laid? Loud? I don't know. I said it's an okay song. So basically, it's like, are you still going to love me under all these different conditions? I'm not like this perfect man. I'm going to fuck up hundreds of times. Will you accept me? All that stuff, which I guess is like a good marriage thing because nobody's perfect 100% of the time. But
yeah, that's true.
Said it was okay.
Yeah, it was an okay song. I would have ended with Paradise because then you could end it on a high note.
Yeah, what's with the vibe? Upbeat?
Yeah, so yeah, I would have switched that.
Okay. I guess top three.
Top three. Let's go, guys. Top three. Top nothing. Top one. Do you want to go to top one?
Two.
Two? Okay, two's fine. Chill. What about you, buddy?
Okay. Obviously, Paradise, obviously, is the number one. I guess I gave a half like to No Angels. I guess. Self liar, maybe selfish. I don't know. Literally, all of these say okay. You know what? I'm gonna pick my favorite drug just because it's weird and different. So, Paradise, No Angels, my favorite drug. I don't know.
Okay,
kind of. Self?
I only have two. I'm gonna say Paradise, and I like the drowning one. Drown. I like Drown. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Fair.
The top
fair.
Two is better than nothing.
Good job, guys.
So just a really quick on the top performing peak positions of this album so far. Australia 23. So Dutch top 100 is 3. German made it to top 5.
Let's be honest. What's going on?
UK made it to top 5. There's nothing here for Canada or the US. So
what? Shocking.
I don't know.
It just came out too, like, right? March 15th it came out? I don't know then.
Yeah, so it's still new. It's only like a week or whatever, but
yeah.
But still.
Definitely.
It's been a week.
Yeah.
Trying to be nice.
I was trying to see if anybody else had a track by track review, but nobody really did. I'm trying to see if there's like a quick thing. Nah, there's just a lot. I don't.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. And I think we did it pretty good. We're an hour 21 minutes. Anyways. I think that's pretty good.
I agree.
Yes. So, yeah. So it's kind of like a mixed review from people.
Yeah.
People are just like, it's okay. From us, it's eh. So, I don't know.
It seems to be like not better review wise than Man in the Woods is what I have seen on Twitter. Mm. So, I don't know what that says, if that's good or not, because Man of the Woods I heard wasn't that great.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I heard that too.
Okay. Can I just, okay, I know. We said we're mostly out of time, but I just found one and it's by a 43-year-old person. So I feel like this is around our age of a person.
What?
Okay.
Does that matter?
And it's a quick review. So okay. It says, are you frozen?
No, I see it. I see it.
Hello?
Oh, yes. It was one of, was it one of the ones that I see?
Yeah, yeah. You're frozen, okay. Bike.
Maybe don't play it because you're frozen.
It is the second one that you sent.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I don't know.
This title says everything.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to just stop the sharing of the screen, but I'll just read it and not share it. So it's called,
okay.
So this is Independent UK. It says, Justin Timberlake, everything I thought it was review, about as sexy as a soiled mattress. So this is 2 out of 5 stars. It says, the pop star's first album in 6 years is a real slog, bogged down with bloated R&B slow jams.
Wow.
So this is by Helen Brown. And it says, hey, baby, listen, I got this new JT album. If you got a turntable, maybe we can get it on. Runs a cheesy sample on Everything I Thought It Was, Justin's first studio album in 6 years. Alas, despite the relentless sexual braggadocio, the record sprawling R&B slow jams are more likely to inspire snoozing than shagging.
Wow. Weighing in at a bloated
18 tracks, it's got the soggy dead weight and wonky springs of a fly-tipped mattress. Mm-hmm. I write this as a fan of some of the 43-year-old singers snappier, boppier pop hits. Before we knew the backstory about what's rumored to have gone down between Timberlake and fellow Mickey Mouse Club star Britney Spears, I love the glitchy sync hook of Cry Me a River. He was excellent strutting across the stage during his UK arena tour like a breakdancing James Bond when he was bringing sexy back in 2007. I've danced to Can't Stop the Feeling from the 2016 Troll soundtrack at more children's parties than I can count and felt the glittery beats help me forget I'm covered in face paint and chocolate cake. Huh. But this album is a real slog. It opened with the queasy slosh of Memphis, an oddly equivocal song in which he appears to lament the hard work he's had to put in order to live up to the hopes of the city where he was born. Fame, he ponders, has been a hell of a ride, and we pulled up onto the dance floor with the Calvin Harris co-written Fucking Up the Disco. It's fun, forgettable, with a rubbery funk bass line over which Timberlake encourages a dance partner to lay her cheekbone onto his shoulder and take a bite. Other danceable numbers include My Favorite Drug, There's a Cowbell, No Angels, apparently designed for JT to pull audience members onto the stage with lines like, I've chosen you, Pikachu, I choose you. And the brass-backed Play, which riffs the Bowie's 1974 hit Fame, but where Bowie was deconstructing his hollow celebrity, Timberlake revels in its fruits, spending the day sipping bougie rosé and offering his interlocutor something to play with. Come in and play with it. That's, yep, that is actually one of the lines. Come in and play with it. Yep.
No thanks.
Infinity Sex has a retro glitter ball funk in flutes and finger snaps. Timberlake hits all the right notes, but sounds disconnected as he dials in the lines. I don't know you anymore. Soon all your clothes hit the floor. Pray this hotel room is insured. You don't feel the pheromones. The slow jams are sludge. Single Selfish has already failed to ignite the charts, being outperformed by Spears' song of the same name for her fan base mobilized against him. The dragging beat of Technicolor grinds on for a tedious 7 minutes and 17 seconds.
Yeah.
A heavily vocadored Timberlake assures us he can never get enough, but he's alone in this. Sanctified climaxes with a big gurner of guitar solo and rap from Toby, featuring the absurd, memorable line, inside my loins, boing. I don't remember that line, but yeah, okay.
Amazing.
Sure. The album winds down the inevitable Ernst piano from Alone and guitar from Paradise ballads before ending on Conditions, a song unlikely to mollify critics of JT's behavior over the years. Fair enough.
Fair.
It's making lots of mistakes, yep. Of course, he's not personally responsible for the patriarchal music culture that allowed him to flourish while Spears lost all agency. He did benefit from it, though, arguably, helping throw her under the bus in the video for Cry Me a River.
Yep.
And according to Spears' memoir, wasn't the greatest boyfriend either. So the lyrics on Conditions seem a little entitled as he sings about how he can make a couple hundred bad decisions, do some shit, I know I will be forgiven. Especially when followed by a chorus in which he demands, just say you love me under all of my conditions. But oof, that's all happening by track 18, and I suspect most listeners will have tuned out by then. Yeah. JT hasn't brought sexy back. I don't think he took it anywhere near the studio either. Perhaps he left it under one of those hotel mattresses he claims to have broken.
Wow.
Amazing. Oh my God.
Okay.
So yeah, so that he basically had, you know,
Where was this review and who wrote it?
So it is by Helen Brown, and it is independent. So it's a UK post. So that's why there's some British slang in there. Yes.
Oh, so I feel like they summed it up nicely again, for us.
Yes, for sure. And then we wouldn't have had to listen to the album. So the review was called Justin Timberlake, Everything I Thought It Was Review, About As Sexy As a Soiled Mattress.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing. Anyways, it's an okay album. If you're a JT fan, I'm sure you love it.
For everyone.
It's not the worst thing I've ever heard, but it's definitely not going to be on my rotation anywhere. And
I will be listening to Paradise, so that's good, at least. So yes, at least you have one good song there.
I concur. So yeah, so there you go. yeah. Anything else?
Anybody but if everyone, if some, if others love it, more power to you. This was just our opinion.
Not our jam. Feel free to write your favorite songs in the comments if you have any, and or least favorite or whatever. So yeah.
And make sure to follow us on all of our social medias.
Yes. So at boybandbreak, BoyBandBreak. If there's any other albums you want us to review, so like any other boy band or boy band adjacent albums, let us know, and we'll gladly check those out for you.
We have a couple coming up, actually. One is 98 Degrees and one is New Kids on the Block.
Yes, so those new albums will be coming out. So yeah, we are looking forward to those ones. So yes.
Yeah.
Sophia and I are headed to Grand Rapids, Michigan next week. So we will be seeing Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC, Jeff Timmons from 98 Degrees, and Eric Michael Estrada from O-Town. And they are going to be doing a night of symphonic boy bands with the Grand Rapids Michigan Symphony. So, yeah. So
Do not fall asleep.
I'm still kind of confused on how it is, but they're definitely going to sing, right? Like, it's not like they would be there. They're just going to sing.
They just have the backup as the symphony.
So it'll probably be slower versions of the song. I don't know. It's been very little information about it. So there are still lots of tickets available. So hopefully it doesn't get canceled.
It's an adventure, right? Let's go and see how it is.
So our friend Leslie is going with us, and then we will record about that, because as far as I know, this is the first time they've done a symphony thing, especially a collab with three boy banders. So yes, so should be good. All right. Well, thank you, Lydia, for being here. It was great to see your face again.
Thank you for having me, guys. Please. Thank you. Just if I can only pop in when I have time, but I just know you guys are always in my heart, and I love you guys. Okay.
And we appreciate you.
And we appreciate you too.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks for taking a break with us, guys.
Until next time.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.